Today's scripture reading is taken from Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. While a wind from God swept over the face of the waters, then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Welcome to our 14th anniversary service. And as is typical on this day, we invite some members of our congregation to share their experience of how God has been working in their life, particularly through our church. So we're going to invite elders Josette and Nancy to share from their experience. Josette, would you come? Sure. Josette is a longtime elder of Shiloh Bethany Church and of... and of our church, and will serve this year, which we're very excited about. Thank you, Josette.
Love you. Oh, what a beautiful congregation. Aren't we pretty? Good morning, and welcome. I'm Josette Bethany. And I've gone to church in this building for about 46 years. At one time, we had a nursery school here. And my oldest daughter was 4 years old, and it was time to send her to nursery school. So that's how I got acquainted with Shiloh Bethany. And you know, even though we went from Shiloh Bethany to Grace, it was such a short time with Grace on Silver Lake, and I'll tell you how that came about. We still call ourselves Shiloh Bethany. Of course, cans first. I'm a remnant of Shiloh Bethany. There aren't too many of us left. We have Betty, who's our matriarch. 95 years old yesterday. Bill Carroll. Who will be approaching 80. Is that okay if I say that, Bill? All right. And we have May, who always sits in that place because that's where she and her husband sat for many years. I guess we're not really good on change. And Margaret was one of our newer members of Shiloh Bethany, but very important to us. We were an active church from 1925 to 2004. After a split in the church, we were down to about 50 members and maybe 30 who really attended church. I don't know how we survived. Well, I do. It was the Lord's will because we were waiting for you. How we paid our bills, we did. And we also had a secretary. We had somewhat of a cleaning lady. She didn't come often. And we had a person who handled our finances. And they were not volunteers. They were all paid at that time. In 2005, and I'm not sure about some of these numbers. I know Pastor Jen has them all, but he won't correct me. He's too polite. In 2005, we received a grant, and we were able to hire a part-time pastor. And his name was Pastor Ken Reby, and some of you remember him. Some of you weren't here at that time. We changed our name to Grace on Silver Lake because we thought it would be a new beginning. You know, it looked like, okay, Shiloh is a failure. We just keep getting smaller. So let's do something else. So that's what we did. We were imagining a new beginning, but we never imagined a whole congregation moving in on one Sunday. What a blessing. Bev Anderson, who was one of our Shilonians, kept having this dream about the church being filled, but she never saw the faces. Wow, how beautiful you are. That was the merger of Can and Grace Church on Silver Lake. It was the answer to our prayers. We had a building that was almost empty, and they had a congregation who would fill it. We were all grateful for the merger. In the beginning, we thought we would have our own services. That didn't happen. We were so excited about being part of Can at that time. When I look back now, I can see how the Lord was working to get us ready for the merger. It was an exciting time, and it still is. For example, Shiloh also had another congregation in this building, and Paul Mute is the last one of that congregation. They were a Sudanese congregation. They had been raised in camps. They didn't have their own homes in Sudan. English was not their first language, so they met on their own for about 2 years, and then they joined us. And their lay leader was Simon Dahl, who did become a lay pastor during that interim time with the help of Pastor Reby and Robert Bowler. Thank you. I knew he was on. Today, they are in Albert Lea because of the Section 8 housing. There wasn't enough available here, so they moved to Albert Lea. And I have to tell you about the person from our congregation who helped them become independent. Her name was Barb Carroll, and she was Bill's wife. She's passed away 14 years ago last year, but she was a pit bull for immigrants. She would not let up. She wanted the very best for them. She took them to doctor appointments. She babysat their children. She even had to go to the jail one day because one of the young men had been arrested for offering a young woman at Columbia Heights money for a date. There was a lot for us to learn about their culture and them for us also. Today, CAN has three congregations in this building. What a great way to share our wealth. CAN has worked with immigrants, helping them get their green cards and eventually maybe becoming citizens. The session also works on this type of issue. And I was on the session for Shiloh Bethany and CAN when we were developing this merger. And I am willing to serve now too. I feel like I'm giving a campaign speech, but guess what? I've already been elected, so don't sweat it. That's one reason I'm willing to serve on session is because of the immigrant population and what our young people are doing for them. I'm all for the rallies, the marches, the whole works. That's how we get things done and changed. I wish to serve also because we have a pastor who I believe is a visionary. We have so many new things going on. Well, this isn't entirely new because we've had it for a few years now, but our underground seminary, which I support fully, wonderful, wonderful. He's also the shepherd that I personally need and love. We've had other new things happen. We have communal living. I wish they'd have one for old folks. Maybe we will someday. I'm not that old yet, though. uh, Let me see. I love being part of this church family, and I really believe it's a family. I love to be downstairs, you know, when we have dinners. The young people are exchanging babies. I don't know who belongs to who anymore. And like Betty said, well, I just can't remember all their names. I said, Betty, just call them all honey. I see so many good things here. Faithful Sunday school teachers, and of course, our beloved Soon Beck with cool kids. Wherever these kids go, if they leave our church, they still have an excellent foundation in how to live a life that brings them closer to the Lord. I care about you and your children, and I will do anything to make this church better for you and your kids. Whether the children are here when they are older or not, we've planted the seed of wanting and needing Christ in their lives. We've done our part. The Lord will do the rest. Amen. We have lost people and we have gained people. It is something that is in the Lord's hands and it happens in all churches. This is a congregation of so many talented people. I mean, look at our praise team. You'd have to pay $100 to hear a concert like that. It's fantastic. The pastors and others are versatile and smart. I appreciate pastor not coveting the pulpit, but letting others in the congregation have a chance to deliver the word in their own style. I believe as part of this church, it's our job to get the next generation ready to run the church. We have some young people who are willing and qualified to serve as elders and deacons. Praise the Lord. The community page that keeps us connected, I think, is so important. I love to hear about, maybe someone adding insulation to their attic or someone needing a babysitter. You know, it just keeps us in the realm of what's going on. Why do I stay here? Why do I want to serve? I believe that I have something to offer and want to be a part of a church family who cares about each other. Besides that, I prayed about this for 3 months, and I could not come up with a reason to not serve. And I tried. Our Christmas talent show was so much fun if you were there. If you weren't, I feel sorry for you. Our beautiful children made us all smile and laugh. And we know we have the cutest, smartest, sweetest children in our congregation. And the babies, oh wow, the babies. Keep them coming, they are our future. And Jane Chung, who I call the baby stealer, said that while she's in Arizona, I can take her place. We have Betty Jensen, who just turned 95, mentioned that before. She said, you know, I just can't do much anymore except pray. And I'm thinking, oh yeah, isn't that the top? That's the very top. She prays. I call her our prayer warrior. And if you need special prayers, let her know. She's on the prayer chain, but she'll take personal requests also. Bill Carroll, who's going to turn 80. Can you believe it? He kept this building together. We knew it needed fixings. You know, we appreciate everything that's been done. But he was our boiler master. He shoveled all the snow. He mowed all the grass. He changed all the light bulbs. If anything broke, we all had Bill's number. And thank goodness he was retired. I pray that you will get involved in church activities, whatever your gift is. You know, we're just one part of the body. We don't have to do it all. But Just Do It has trouble with that one. Thank you. I love you all.
Well, that's a tough act to follow. Josette, you're who I want to be when I grow up. Oh, hi. I think somebody recognizes me. All right, I'm going to talk about hope in times of discomfort. My sisters and I, and if you know me at all, you know that I've got a passel of them. There's six of us girls. And last year we started something where at the beginning of the year we came up with a word for ourselves and we just shared it with one another. And throughout the year we would reflect on it together. And my word for 2018 is hope. I'm going to read from Hebrews 6:19 from the Message. We who have run for our very lives to God have every reason to grab the promised hope with both hands and never let go. It's an unbreakable spiritual lifeline reaching past all appearances right to the very presence of God, where Jesus, running on ahead of us, has taken up his permanent post as high priest for us in the order of Melchizedek. So, hope in discomfort. I don't know about you, but I probably can guess. I have been really distressed lately with everything that I've been reading as far as news feeds or a post or turning on the radio. It's just disheartening, but I am so, so grateful that we have hope and that we have hope in Jesus and we can run and grab with both hands and never let go. And that's what's keeping us looking ahead and moving forward. And I think about this congregation, and this is a congregation that lives and experiences God's hope. Just over 11 years ago, so my history is a little different than Josette's. And so now you can see as she told the story kind of where we fit in. Just over 11 years ago, we started coming to Cannes. It was a little less conventional way, you know, sort of the progress, but, you know, we started. And the way we found out about it is very similar to how many of you did, just by searching on the internet. We came through the doors looking for something different than what we had experienced in the U.S. Who were we back 11 years ago? A couple married almost 25 years ago, almost empty nesters, but not quite. Green card holders, but not citizens. And yet, we were about to go through some more transitions in our life. But we still thought of ourselves as kind of young, but we had gray hair and enough life experiences to prove otherwise and know that what we were looking for doesn't exist in a lot of places. What did we leave? We left a church that had a lot of status quo. We looked like everyone else, and so that's pretty comfortable, right? But that's a problem in itself. And it was a concern to us, and a concern that it wasn't a concern to other people. We did not feel like we fit in, even though we looked like everybody else. But knowing that what we've experienced and what we've learned, that it's not something to be desired to look like everybody else. Like Josette said, what a beautiful congregation, and what a joy it is to look at this congregation. It was certainly not a church that was egalitarian. Women were allowed to do a lot of the work. Oh, yes, women could do the work, but not make the decisions. And it wasn't really a church about loving people, just whoever they were and wherever they came from. One time I was talking to my neighbor in the backyard, and he said, oh, we visited your church. And that was after we had left. And he said, we stood there, and nobody talked to us other than the elders. And I thought, wow, what a really sad commentary on what a church is. And I hope and pray, and I think I can say confidently that that would never happen to anybody coming through the doors of Cannes. It wasn't a place that thrived on hospitality, which is something, as you know, is really important to our hearts. But they redefined hospitality as just being hospitable. If you were kind of hospitable, then you covered, you know, what God requires of us as far as hospitality. But there's no risk and there's no sacrifice in opening up your homes and yourself to others if you redefine hospitality that way. So we left something. What did we come to? Here it was. 11 years ago was a baby congregation in a big, aging building. And it's a place that does not always feel comfortable. And I'm not talking just about the lack of air conditioning in summer or the times that the boiler is broken in the winter. Those are certainly times of discomfort. And it's a Presbyterian church. Any of you who've talked to me for any period of time know that my background is not Presbyterian at all. And I certainly experienced some discomfort in that. Learning liturgy and to actually do follow that, that was discomfort. But learn to grow in that. This has been a church with a changing face. Josette kind of talked about that. People have come and people have gone. We've seen many people. And the focus has sometimes changed over the years. But the core of who we are has remained the same. Honestly, sometimes that is disheartening. You kind of want something to be the same because then you can know what to expect and it's more comfortable, right? But I have seen, as I've grown in my faith, that God brings together a family like what we have here, and I am so grateful. So, if it's not super comfortable, why do you stay, you might ask? Shouldn't we always be comfortable? Isn't that what we should be looking for? I remember when I was little, and I would wake up in the nighttime, and my legs would really be hurting, and I would be crying, and she would be patiently rubbing them and saying that I was experiencing growing pains. And that's how I like to think about the discomfort that I've experienced here and that has brought change and growth, that it's been growing pains and brought me to a great and a better place of learning and growth. And I want to thank you all for being part of that. So what have I learned? I've learned things about myself. For one, I'm very white. And you go, duh, look, right? Look in the mirror. But you know what? It takes some time. We're slow to learn. And I've also learned that it's okay to acknowledge our weaknesses. I've learned about myself, and it's been a while till I admit it, that I like to make sure that it always looks like I'm okay. And that things are going great, and the family's going fine, and everybody's getting along. But I have learned that it's okay if things aren't going great. If I'm suffering with some real severe anxiety or suffering some or struggling with some things in my job or in our marriage, we're kind of a little more battery back and forth than usual. When I think I have nothing to give or nothing to share, but that's not true. And I want to thank you all for helping me to learn that and loving me through that part of my growth. Things that I've learned about God. God's expectations of us are so much less than what we have of ourselves. We think that he just, you know, okay, we've given our lives to him, and we just gotta be up there, and we've got to be perfect. My head, I've known that, you know, and you know that, but my heart has been so much slower to follow. And as I've experienced more of God's unconditional love through the love here in this congregation, I've learned to love people more. Another thing I've been learning is about the feminine side of God. I'm still learning about that, and I have to admit, talking about that and expressing that has been discomfort for me, you know, because it's not the way I grew up, and it's not the way I've always seen things. But my heart is open, and I want to know God fully and to be able to love more fully. Things that I've learned about church. I mean, people will say I was in the church since I was born. Seriously, I was a pastor's daughter. And so we were at church 3-4 times a week. Even if we weren't in youth group, the whole church, pastor's family would come. But I have learned so much more about church in these past 11 years. That it is, and it can be, a place where we feel loved and accept it, even as we struggle with our growing pains. That there are churches that can really live and share hospitality. And Soonbeck and Pastor Jen have been such great examples of that. Pastor David and Lucy and others. And it has just been such a comfort and encouragement to us to watch the hospitality and know that hospitality is part of the ethos of this church. I can honestly say from the bottom of my heart that I have loved being an elder. I must confess that I have a bit of a curious nature and wanting to know what's going on, so that's been a way to kind of help me know what's going on. But honestly, it hasn't been all easy. There have been some extremely challenging times and things that we've gone through. And I've wondered, what on earth am I doing? This is a huge responsibility to be caring for the spiritual direction of a church, of this incredible body of precious people. But growing and learning, I've realized, and you'll hear that, and you've heard it, it's not about doing, but about being. And in these past few years, I have learned to walk more into being who I'm called to be just by serving and loving. My definition of elder has kind of turned on its head. It's caused me some discomfort, but I have found more of God's heart in his love for people. A church can truly be a family. Two of my sisters were here over the holidays, and we had a great time together, and one of the opportunities we had was to experience family time and some hospitality. And as we were leaving and reflecting on it, I said, see, this church is like a family to me. And one of my sisters, who's experiencing some really challenging and a very lonely time of her life, she said, that's what I need. I need a church family. All through this, there have been those growing pains. But growth is where we're headed, right? So, where are we now, almost 11 years later? For sure, now I know we are old. On any given day or event, we are certainly among the most experienced, if you want to use euphemisms, in a group or a church, but I'm really grateful for Just Do It ladies who are right there in the front row today. We are grandparents, not just in heart, but in reality. And I actually don't mind being called grandma now. Remember a few years ago, I pushed that away. Our empty nest has become full again. That's a huge change. And it's not just the four chickens that are roasting in the backyard. And that in itself has brought some discomfort. Just like, okay, what are we doing? This is a change, but it has been a really good change and brought really good growth as I've looked at what do I think and what do I think family life is and what can family life be and how can community life really be in our families. And it has been a really big change as I've grown through the discomfort of that experience. Today is an incredibly special day for CAN as we once again recognize and ordain new elders and deacons. As I step away from being an active elder for my second of 2 3-year terms, I watch as two of my children now step in. It's kind of terrifying, actually. What do they know? What do they know of life? What do they know of God to be able to lead and care for us? It's another time of discomfort, but I've been amazed to learn the things that they know. How many times Daniel has said to us, God, this is how God thinks, or this is God's way, and it has just prompted us, and it has challenged us. They, in their lives, individually and as a family, have run to God and grabbed that promised hope that we've read about in Hebrews 6. As I close, I want to say thank you. Thank you all for allowing me to be part of you. Thank you for allowing me to love and serve. And together, we will continue to share in the promised hope as we continue to go through times of discomfort and growth. Love you.
We are so blessed. We have such wealth in this congregation, and that wealth is you, our people. I became a born-again Christian between middle of 8th and 9th grade sometime, where I accepted Jesus into my heart as my personal Savior. And so in that way, I've been evangelical my whole life, really believing that God is good news in a deeply personal way, as well as for the whole world. One of the first gifts that my mentor identified in me was a gift of encouragement. And that just simply means giving courage to other people. I appreciate Joseph's recognition that I try to share the pulpit with other people. I preach about half the Sundays in the year these days, and I think even that is too much. So I look forward to the day when I can preach even less and have the gifts of our people come forth even more. But that, I think, is really the role of the church, not just the pastor, is to give courage to one another to say, despite what we see in the mirror, which is often our flaws and our shortcomings, that what others see is our truest self, and that when we're in a loving community, others can see us better than we can see ourselves. It's giving courage to each other that God has gifted us in unique ways, given us experiences that no other person on earth has, and that the combination and permutation that makes each of us what we are is the love of God embodied and expressed in the church. I especially am grateful for our women. I think that the 21st century, if there is going to be any hope and viability for the human race, is a century that must be led by women. So if I am going to lead with any kind of strength, it's going to have to be to use the male privilege that I have, unearned male privilege in a male-oriented and dominated society, to make way, to make space, to create an environment where women don't have to fight, women don't have to struggle so much just to be themselves and to have their voice heard. We men have to do that kind of work, utilize our male privilege to make the path straight, so that all of us can benefit. I mean, it's to our, for those of us who are male, it's to our benefit to lift up our women, not in a patronizing way, but just out of fairness, and recognize their gifts so that all of us can grow and prosper. So I'm really, really grateful for that demonstration that we saw so naturally even just now. So I'm encouraged, even as an encourager, by who we are as a congregation and where we are going. And I'm just the most blessed and fortunate pastor in the world to be leading such a wonderful and beautiful and courageous congregation. Thank you all for being who you are. And now let us offer to God what God has given to us. In sharing our gifts in this way, we make this church work and advance the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As part of that offering, Myung Chan, who is going to be ordained as an elder today, and Seulgi, our pianist, are going to actually sing together. Seulgi's going to sing today. You know, she is singing today to encourage Myung Chan to sing before the whole congregation. He was kind of reluctant to do it by himself. So thank you, Seulgi, for your ministry of encouragement. And Chinsu is going to play piano.